Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Glorio Chat, the best anime podcast on the internet. You know, I've been saying every episode before we start how great this past season has been.
Yeah.
And I think every time I've said those words, another finger on the monkey paw has curled. We've now arrived at the summer 2021 season, and
we had to pay the piper at some point.
Yeah.
This is maybe the roughest a new season has looked in a while.
Yeah. Like, this might be a short episode, given I was really scraping the barrel for things that sounded even remotely interesting to talk about.
The only thing I'll say is that there's always something kind of unexpected.
Yes, I'm sure we'll find something, but like, it's not even like there is a bunch of shows that look terrible. I counted at least 7 isekai shows.
God.
Which, and that's like this, like, definitely isekai shows and not like others that may be adjacent to that genre.
Yeah.
And a lot of shows that look like they're probably fine, but will probably don't look interesting. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to come out of all of this, but I've picked a few to talk about. And there's a couple of other returning things we can talk about. And, we'll see how it goes. But before we get started, to introduce everybody, I'm Jell. I'm joined by Iro.
I'm still here. I'm not dead yet, unfortunately.
still, after we're just getting hot off of watching the E3 Square Enix press conference, and perhaps we all wish we weren't here.
Date this podcast.
Well, Iro, if you wish to be dead, all you have to do is describe yourself as chaos, and will be along soon to finish the job.
Yeah, let's not
timeless. These timeless jokes, folks. These jokes definitely won't be obsolete. Literally 60 minutes from now.
Yes.
I mean, look, we're still making $599 jokes 15 years later. So you know.
US dollars.
Anyway, also joined by G.
What's good, everybody?
And we are joined by Zig.
Hello.
All right. So, let's get into this anime so we can get back to watching bad video game streams.
Only the highest quality indeed of entertainment here.
So we're going to start with the sequel or sequel-ish shows of note that I threw on this list.
Okay.
And we can begin by talking about Getter Robo Arc.
Getter Robo,
G.
It's back.
Yeah, which, you know, Getter Robo being the, that's it's Go Nagai, right?
Technically, it's Ken Imagawa.
Sorry. Okay.
But he, so no, I, not Imagawa, Ishikawa. Imagawa was the cyborg 009 guy.
So, Iro, let me tell you about Getter Robo. There are several robots, and they combine into one big robot. Clever, huh?
Like, so the thing, that always kind of, like, was notable about Getter Robo is that, in a lot of ways, like, if Go Nagai is sort of considered, like, the grandfather of, like, a very specific, like, lineage of, like, hot-blooded, masculine-oriented, like, mecha tropes, right? The hot-blooded hero who, like, you know, fights the demons with all of his heart and all that stuff. Then Ken Ishikawa's Getter Robo is considered by many to sort of be the, like, the perfection of the execution of those tropes.
Okay.
Like, Getter Robo has always kind of been like if Mazinger is kind of like you know, the OG hot-blooded kid in a robot, Getter Robo has always kind of been the, like, somehow even edgier, more violent cousin to Mazinger. You know,
it is the Michelangelo to Mazinger's Leonardo da Vinci.
I think you mean Raphael, but
I mean, who would be Michelangelo then?
Would that be Imagawa? He's kind of goofier.
I was talking about the shows, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
You know, they are number one and number 1A in the pantheon of super robots.
Yes. And like, Getter Robo's kind of always been famous for, like, kind of taking a lot of those, like, fun tropes to their logical conclusion of, like, you know, if hot blood equals violence, and if violence equals, and if your protagonist, like, strives for violence, then what type of protagonist are you talking about piloting these robots? Like, you know, Getorobo is sort of famous for many of its, like, most famous, like, protagonists basically being, like, two steps away from unhinged psychopaths who just happen to be directed in the direction of mankind's enemies.
Right.
You know, famously, like, you know, Ryoma, kind of the most, you know, the primary Getter pilot, is like this real hot-blooded dude who just loves to fight. And it really says a lot when his second-in-command is a serial killer who is just like, oh man, are you telling me if I get into a giant robot, I'll get to kill even more people? Sign me up!
Okay.
So, like, that is very much kind of like, you know, the tone of Getorobo. It's now, always...
I was going to say, this series is... I mean, obviously, Getorobo has been around for decades.
Yes.
But this is actually a sequel-ish series in the convoluted
right,
Getorobo
that's
timeline.
That's what I
want
right?
to
know. So, like, is each Getorobo show, like, a new thing, a new cast, or is it all part of the same continuity? Or
yes
somehow?
And no is the answer to that.
So the difficult thing with Getorobo is that the sad truth is that Getorobo has never actually gotten a singularly good anime adaptation. Like, not once in its entire history. Like, every single Getorobo adaptation has been dogged by, like, production issues and director changes and, like, early cancellation. Every single one. Like,
okay, then.
There is no good Getorobo anime. The closest is Getorobo Armageddon, which is kind of the zenith of the late 80s, early 90s anime mecha OVA.
Hell yeah.
It's violent, it's over the top, the music's great, the animation, the fighting's fantastic. You know, a man is hit by a Kamehameha and dissolves into snakes.
Okay.
Always felt like Armageddon, because it was made in 1998, which is obviously fairly late for the golden age of the OVA. I always thought of it as kind of like a decadent last days of the Roman Empire thing. You know, it's over the top in every possible way.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, is that Armageddon? So yes, I'm a little harsh when I say there is no good Getorobo anime. Armageddon is a fantastic, like, spectacle. You know, it is a fun thing to watch on screen. And yes, and in many ways, it felt like a celebration of Getorobo as it was sort of inevitably reaching the end of its relevance. You know, a post-Eva world, so to speak. But so the idea is that Getter does have a so. The problem is that this also extends into the Getorobo manga. Not only did Ken Ishikawa die fairly young, but many of the Getorobo manga, which are technically part of a, like, overarching Getter universe with recurring characters and a, like, persistent timeline, many of his manga were, like, canceled prematurely or moved, like, to different publications. Like, Getorobo is actually kind of a famously, like... like... I don't know what the word is. It's a famously troubled series.
For something so famous and influential, it sure is a mess.
Yes,
it
is a very messy series, and so
it's kind of like Cyborg 009 in that sense.
No, that's actually pretty. Yes, yeah. Yes, they are similar in more ways than one. So the thing with Arc is technically an adaptation of a manga, one that I haven't read, but there is a manga called Getorobo Arc, which was meant to be sort of a sequel. To the original Getorobo. It sort of takes place in a post-Dinosaur War Getorobo, which should tell you everything you need to know about the tone of the...
There was a Dinosaur War?
Oh, yeah. The Dinosaur War of the... So, the original villains of Getorobo were just dinosaurs who survived, like, the meteor and moved underground and grew their own society until they wanted to rise up and destroy humanity. You know, Getorobo is actually fantastic. I take back everything I said.
Yeah, and, like, this is so stupid, you'll see it homaged in various anime to this day. Like, right. Just any time, you know, like, we need a, like, brief sting of a super robot parody, they'll be fighting, like, evil dinosaurs from under a city or something like that.
Yes. So Arc is an adaptation, but it's an adaptation of a cancelled manga. So...
Okay.
It's sort of in a weird place where it is probably going to adapt, like, the large, like, the primary plot points of the original manga, but how it decides to finish, or even how close of an adaptation it decides to be, is kind of hard to say. And,
okay. And again, the franchise has history with this. I mean, like, the aforementioned Armageddon is a sequel to a... Correct me if I'm wrong, G, but it's a sequel to a manga that was never actually produced. Is that true?
That is my understanding, is that, yes, is that Armageddon is sort of like... Again, like, Ishikawa had a really, like, messy career. Like, despite, like, how deeply... Like, in many ways, Ishikawa should be... He should be up there with Go Nagai. He deserves to be. But just, like, the combination of his premature death and just, like, how messy his career was kind of, like, really... You know, kind of prevented a lot of, you know, his works from kind of hitting the big time. And, yes, so, you know, Armageddon is a... It's a sequel, but also kind of not really, like, it's...
It's very odd. It's very odd.
Yeah, and so Arc... It's kind of shaping up to be kind of in a similar place of, like, there are legacy characters in Arc. You know, Jin Hayato, the aforementioned psychopath I mentioned earlier, is a recurring character in Arc. Where here he seems to be playing the role of the, like, Dr. Saltome-style doctor, except he's double-fisting AK-47s, so I'm not really sure what he's doing here.
But... How else are you gonna fight dinosaurs?
So again, it's like, you hear the tone I speak of Getarobo, but also, like, Getarobo's fucking awesome. Like, it's awesome in the way that, like, 90s comics were in that, or the good 90s comics were. Like, it's over the top, it's ridiculous, it's hot-blooded, you know. If you just want to see a robot, like, just fucking... beaten alien to death with his bare hands and then shout, you know, Getter Tomahawk, like, Getter's got you backed up, man.
In other words, it very much depends who shows up to this anime, because it could be great, it could be a disaster. There's almost no way to tell.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of room for creative freedom on this, even though it is, I guess, technically an adaptation. I will say, watching the trailer...
So that's a thing we didn't get to.
CG maps, baby.
I would say, at the very least, they didn't try to pretty it up with modern... it still looks like old style, at least. But I don't know about the CG robots.
So, yeah. I was one of those holdouts that said, like, the moment Mazinger and Getter get animated in CG is, like... That is when you know, like, that super robots are well and truly dead, and,
Well, we're here.
Save us from Xenon.
Yeah, like, the CG's not looking... Look, this ain't Studio Orange, you know? Like,
right. Right. Yeah, like, it's not awful, I guess, but it's not...
No,
the best we've seen either.
Like, again, like, I know, like, I'm spending way too much time on this fucking thing, but I just gotta give a shout out to, like,
oh, we don't have anything else to talk about, so it's fine.
The thing that made Getter Robo Armageddon, like, such a fun goddamn spectacle is how much it embraced the, like, Ishikawa style, like, you know, like, I'm sure you've all seen parodies of it, right? Like the super, like, when an anime suddenly goes super sketchy and their eyebrows get super, like, fucking gigantic and, like,
right.
Like, you know, there's 15 more sketchy, like, lines underneath their face. Like, that is Getter Robo Armageddon. Like, and just the animation, like, the stuff they would do with, like, the characters and Getter Robo itself and Armageddon. And again, I know it's, like, fucking talking about how anime was better back in the good old days is a pointless endeavor, but, like...
I mean, there was more of a market, and they could afford to spend more money and time on that kind of thing, you know. And so, again, remember, Armageddon was an OVA; they're produced under very different circumstances.
So all I'll say is, if you think Getter Robo Arc is looking pretty bad, just I'm going to say this here: I want you all to YouTube Getter Robo Armageddon Stoner Sunshine. Just type those words in: Getter Robo Stoner Sunshine. All right, look that up and be impressed by what Getter Robo is capable of.
That's your homework, folks.
But yeah, I want to look forward to this, but also, like, Getter Robo is just such a fucking, like, inconsistent quantity that it's hard to actually, like, know what we're going to get out of this.
I'm shocked that it's even getting made at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. Okay, let's move along. I felt like I had to mention there's a new Love Live, because those are a big deal, right?
Great.
So is this a new TV series? Or...
Yes.
Because we just had Nijisaki High School or whatever it was.
Yes. So I did my research.
Wow.
This is the wow. third official main line, because the one that just happened was like a idle battle royale or something like that. This is sure. like an actual
100 idols drop onto an island.
Right.
We still have Juki Hanada on writing, I say.
Yeah. This is like an actual new group that they're gonna try to sell. I'm gonna try not to think about the fact that the first one was 8 years ago. And then the second one was like 6 years ago. So like, mm-hmm. the second one was Sunshine, and then this one is called Superstar. It's going to be a new music group. I'm kind of wondering. I feel like I don't hear about Love Live as much anymore as we used to. Like enough time has passed. Like,
it's still big. Like it's perhaps, still, yeah. it is perhaps is not the biggest big thing deal? In the world anymore, but it's still big. Like
yeah.
There is, I mean, look, a lot of people I know and respect, and also Aqua Gays like Love Live, so it's. no,
does Aqua actually like Love Live?
No, I think he has a complicated love hate relationship with it. But
fandom.
Yes. It's fine. You know, it seems completely harmless. Aside from all the normal creepy shit about idol groups in general.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't see anything to indicate that there was anything different or special about this new one.
I mean,
other than
the
it's
whole
a new
point
group of girls.
The whole point of those shows is that they stick to a rigid template, right? They are extremely formulaic, and it's a formula that works, and that's fine. But it's not something that interests me in the slightest.
The Super Sentai of the idol world here.
You take that back. Call me back when Love Life has a golf episode which ends with a dude exploding.
All right, well, we are clearly not the right group of people to talk about this, but I thought it was noteworthy enough
sure.
to mention.
You know, yeah. someone out there will appreciate
it.
Love
it's
Life,
still a huge you know? Deal, you know, yes. lots and lots of people are, like.
I
Love
say
Life
as if it's and, a niche franchise. I'm sure somebody will care for Love yeah. Life. Like it'll
I mean,
be fine.
I'm sure
it'll be
lots
fine.
Of people care about yes. Love Live.
Look, again, in all seriousness, it's fine. It's just not yes. particularly the interest of anybody who happens to be on this podcast at
yeah.
the moment.
Yeah.
Well, what about this next show?
All right. Another,
Jell,
some
you,
more...
Did you finish this one?
I did.
Okay.
Some more recent sequels here. The surprise hit, My Next Life as a Villainous, All Roads Lead to Doom, now subtitled X.
X.
Is coming back for a second season.
I see, like, no point in a season two of this, considering how the first season ended.
So. You are correct.
The, okay.
How did the first season end?
Yeah, so to just refresh like, everybody's memory,
like
the
it
whole
got to the, it got to the end of the Otome game that she had memories of her past life, and it was the friendship ending where everybody stays friends and lives happily ever after.
Right.
Like
so the whole point of the show was she gets isekai'd into an Otome game, but she's
the villain
yes. and all of the endings she dies, so she has to find a new ending where she doesn't die. So
and she did.
She yeah. does. And
so then where's the...
Well, I think what happened...
I believe there's a cliffhanger where they're like... Where she remembers something from her past life and it's like... Oh, but... Oh, you finished that game? I can't wait till you play the sequel. But she died too early to play
so
the sequel.
I didn't have the time to actually look this up, but if I recall, I think they were pretty much done with the series and then it was so popular that they were like forced to figure out a way to make it... Go
okay,
on.
No, I got it. No,
of course.
I got the solution. All right. So, the main character goes to sleep for 100 years,
oh.
and then wakes up to a robot apocalypse.
Oh, all right. Okay.
In which
okay.
they are being in which she must she has to date 6 Reploids to save the universe.
Too unambitious.
What about the Reploid virus? What about Sigma?
What about if she goes to sleep for 10,000 years and wakes up and has to date 6 robots? Oh. Also, the robots are sad.
Okay. Yeah.
Yoko Taro's My Life as a Villainous.
Dude, hell yeah. Yeah. I'd do it. Fuck it. Let's go.
Maybe
he will do anything
to,
if you give him money.
Indeed.
I just have to make a joke about the main villain from season 1 being named Serious Dick again, but
oh God! Right.
It's a good,
maybe
it's
she'll
a good
have
name.
To defeat him again. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, I liked the first season, but as
Iroh
said,
it a second like that's
it
thing,
accomplished
right?
everything it was supposed to accomplish.
Yep.
And if the second season is just, like...
more of the same.
More... well, it's not only more of the same, but, like, there's even less plot to work with now, because it's, like, now it's just the, like, reverse harem hijinks.
Right.
Left of, oh no, who's she going to hook up with? Clearly none of them, because she does not understand the concept of love, because she's too stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I another 12 episodes of that is too much for me, so I don't know. I'll check out the first episode or two for sure.
I don't
know,
maybe they'll pull a Dinah Xenon and pull off the, like...
I ain't counting on it, buddy.
A completely unnecessary sequel that actually justifies itself.
I will say, I find it amusing that the trailer, like, the production values are so good compared to season one, because it was, like, such a surprise hit, and now they've got, sure. like...
Oh, really? They gave it more money. I feel like usually season two, they take away the money.
Yeah, and they're just doubling down now, because I guess it was a such a surprise hit for them.
Is it the same studio?
Yeah, it's same staff and everything.
Huh, sure.
But it just looks... Sure. It looks, like, 15 to 20% better.
Well, maybe they could find a way. I don't know. Like,
we'll see.
I mean, in a season like this, are you not going to watch it?
I mean... I might not have a choice. all right.
Okay.
Let's talk about...
Uh-huh. What's next on the list here?
Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid returns for another season. Uh-huh. This one's subtitled S instead of X.
Rest in peace, Yasuhiro Takemoto.
Yes, I do want to mention that. This is Kyoto Animation's first TV series back since the arson attack, which was almost 2 years ago now. They did do the second Violet Evergarden movie since then, but this is like their first TV series. And the first season was directed by Yasuhiro Takemoto, who was killed in the attack. So they've kind of had to switch directors, and so that's kind of, you know.
I mean, I'll put my cards on the table here, which is I have less than zero interest in the show, but I have a great deal of interest in the continued existence of Kyoto Animation. And so,
well, let me tell you about my complicated feelings about Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Sure.
Like the main part of season one is very good. The actual relationship between Miss Kobayashi and Toru the Dragon Maid is the best relationship Kyoto Animation has ever done. The problem is, and I will just throw out, I feel like a lot of that I would give credit to Takemoto's style, in which Kyoani does their thing where they take absolutely garbage source material and somehow make it into something good.
I mean, I'm partial to the relationship between Yui and Gita myself, but I see your argument there.
Sure, but yes, that's a very powerful relationship.
Yes,
but the problem is, like, that main part. So like those two and their, you know, adopted dragon daughter are pretty good, but the everything else, which is like maybe an additional 30% of the show, is hot garbage. Everything else in the show is so bad. So you've got like
some tank top boob dragon.
Yeah, I was gonna say big titty goth girlfriend dragon.
Yes, but... with her little like elementary school boy that takes care of her or whatever.
Okay, I didn't even know that part, but okay.
Yeah. Everything else in the show is so like. I had very mixed feelings at the end of season one, just because, like, the slight majority of it I thought was very good, but, like, you have to swallow so much
right,
bad.
That's tough going into a sequel that, you know, for better or worse, you know, has a different staff associated with it, right?
Yeah, and now they've swapped over to Ishihara, who is the...
Is he the Myriad Colors Phantom World guy?
He's I would say he's hit and miss, but his stuff kind of leads more towards the comedy end, which is the bad end of Dragon Maid. So I don't know how that's going to pan out, but I don't know. At the very least, there was an OVA after season one which was pretty good too. So I'll
hasn't
give
there
him
been
that
like
much.
A CGI short series?
Yeah, there's been I don't think it's CGI. I think it's regular shorts.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, so they were running that this season, which I have not watched, actually. I might try to catch that since it's shorts before the season two starts. but I have complicated feelings, but I am definitely interested in watching, at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for better or worse, right? Like,
it was a highly notable show.
Yeah, for the reasons you guys have stated, it is a notable entry this season, you know? And I think that, like, as much as we are, like, dogging on this season, maybe some of that is also just our tastes are very much not aligned with this season.
Our tastes have become clear at this point.
Like, I can't believe it myself, but I know people, like, I've spoken to people who said that this current season is not their favorite because of, like, the style of shows that are airing. Sure. So, like, you know,
yeah,
like, I'm not gonna say those people have bad taste, but
we do not represent the entire anime fandom.
There are
tiny slice of the anime.
Yeah, as exactly, always, this exactly. is a podcast of entirely subjective opinions.
Of course.
Yeah, I,
But I think, know. I think I can speak for most of the anime fandom when I say that we would all prefer a Kyoto Animation which is back and firing on all cylinders and, you know, makes a successful recovery from the terrible tragedy that has befallen them.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
I need Nichijou too.
Well, that's never going to happen.
I mean, but also from a more practical point of view, Kyoto Animation, you know, has a history of promoting women creators. They have a strong history of actually treating their animators like human beings, of educating, know, up-and-coming animators and integrating them into projects. And all of these are trends that we want to see continue. So, you know, the studio is important in more ways than one.
Right, yeah, like I think that is a fair statement to make. Like, not since Nichijou have I watched a KyoAni work that has interested in me, but I think that, yes, for the sake of the industry itself, a healthy KyoAni is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, so looking forward to that. All right.
All right.
Dive headfirst into the garbage, baby!
I've scraped the barrel, chosen a
we
few...
We could just end the podcast here.
Chosen a few new shows to talk about.
We don't have to talk about these shows.
Because we're in a hurry, and you're not smart.
I've prepared a few statements on some of these.
Oh, fuck.
we're like I said, there's like 7 isekai shows. I didn't want to talk about any of them.
Why don't you tell me about what is this here? Bokutachi.
There are a non-zero number. No. Look, I've read the manga adaptations of a non-zero number of these isekai while I was researching my post from like a year back, and they're not really that worth talking about.
So. I think the only one with even like a slight hook to it was the one with the guy who makes potions and opens a drugstore or something.
All right, sure.
In another world. It's like literally I opened a drugstore in another world or something.
Sure.
But, yeah. That one at least didn't look awful. It just looked boring, but...
All right, but yeah. Tell us about this first one
anyway,
on the list, because I've never heard of this.
This is the game dev one.
Oh yes. My god. Game... All right. Okay.
So, this one is, Remake Our Life or Bokutachi no Remake. It's about this game developer guy who his company's about to go bankrupt and he's losing his job and then he gets sent back in time to relive his life and undo all his regrets and whatnot. Looks like,
except like your game dev, like your game dev ideas from a decade from now, they won't be popular right now if you make them, like, that's all I'm saying, like. How would you make live game Schluter roguelite Souls-like?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
2010, it just wouldn't take off.
Well, okay, no. So here's the thing. Like, there's a little bit, like, as someone who is like tangentially connected to game development now, like, there's something interesting to me about this, but like, I have a feeling this is not going to do the things I want it to. But like, I think there could actually be an interesting through line of like, trying to introduce game design ideas like before the technology is ready for
except what I think I actually is he goes back in time and then he's like, oh, you know, all of my favorite games were made by hot ladies. What if I go and make them all into one studio before they made it big?
Yeah, this key art is just a bunch of cute
girls.
Yeah,
that's not nearly as interesting.
Like...
because Because now I'm doing the thing era where we do where we write where we just write back this and better. Forth, you and me we okay. write
how do,
better
how do we introduce like the ideas of Death Stranding 10 years before
right,
Death Stranding
right. Like,
in a way that people find palatable
right. Like imagine this dude goes back in time to like fucking like 2004 and tries to like invent like fucking I don't know, immediate post Resident Evil 4, like tries to invent, Death Stranding or Dark Souls, like, you know,
right.
Souls had already been invented for 10 odd years by the time. But...
all right, fine. Like, let's go in the indie let's go in the more indie direction, right? Like, try to invent like a game like I don't know, like fucking
Papers,
Undertale
please.
In 2004.
Right,
or something.
God,
like
that wouldn't like, work because that wouldn't work because Undertale was just reality in 2004. You know,
well,
that's how everybody
I mean
acted.
Well, the thing I'm trying to, like, get into here is, like, and believe me, I'm trying to draw blood from a stone here because we don't have anything to talk about this podcast.
Uh-huh.
But, like, so many ideas that we associate with, like, the most popular, like, video games of a given time period, like, some of it is technology, but I feel like a lot of it is also culture, right? Like, the culture
right.
of the time, the audience of the time is just not ready for a certain type of video game. Like, you know, like, as much as we joke, a game like Dark Souls doesn't really become popular unless it comes on the heels of the last 10 years of, like, Western-style, like, not just that, but, like, extremely, like, patronizing tutorials.
Hmm.
Like, you know, hold, you know, the era of QTEs.
Hold
right?
A
hold,
to run.
Right, hold A to run, right? Follow the big glowing arrow to get to your waypoint, right? Like, a game like Dark Souls doesn't become interesting unless it exists in a time in which other games, like,
right.
are doing something else, you know?
That's why Dark Souls got big, and Lalo Malana, which came out, like, 10 years before that, did not get big.
Helps that From were able to hammer away at the same basic concept for, like, 20 years as well.
Yes. I'm just using it as an example. What I'm really actually saying is that this anime should be about this character going back in time and then just punching every Japanese executive in the face until they fully adopt Unreal Engine in 2006.
That's how you really fix the game.
Like, that's how you save Japanese. That's how you save Japanese games, is you go to Square Enix and say, no, stop.
What do you mean? We used Unreal Engine for The Last Remnant and nobody liked The Last Remnant.
Yeah, how about Resonance of Fate?
Actually,
Resident Fate's all right.
I know, but like
fucking
you know.
Stack like 16 scopes on my Uzi.
Well,
but no, I'm just saying prevent them from developing Final Fantasy 13 with like 16 different proprietary engines or like whatever the story is of how that game got made. Like,
well, I was
you would stop Fabula Nova Crystallis in its tracks, G.
Yes, and I would do it again.
I was interpreting.
I'd stop Pavlo Nova Crystallis' tracks just the same as I'd shoot Baby Hitler.
Yeah, you know, fuck Baby Hitler. I'm going back in time. I'm going to shoot Baby Nomura.
Kill, destroy the compilation of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, well, I might be on board with that.
Uncompiled, motherfucker.
You'd have to go back like 30 years for that, though, at this point. I was interpreting the description as more of perhaps writing his personal failings, but I don't know if you've read more about it than I have, Iroh.
I'm not.
Okay. Anyway.
No, we're just taking this premise and writing something better.
Couple things I'll point out. One of the things that put this on my radar is it's made by Studio Feel, who has produced many of my cult favorite comedies, such as Hina Matsuri and This Art Club Has a Problem.
Okay.
Also the director of Amagami and Seiren. I'll just throw that out there.
Really?
Obviously
okay.
not the
okay,
writer.
Okay, see, that's how you get me.
Okay,
I mean...
but like, I want to see something that says by the writer of Seiren. It's like somebody dared let that motherfucker back into the writer's room. And
I mean,
will cheer. I will go, hell yes!
I don't think I don't think many shows use a random word generator on the staff, so...
No, alright, I take that back. Like, if
Seiren has... Yoshiyuki Tomino level right.
Look, if
I'm not sure who
anything...
that's a bigger burn to, Seiren or Tomino, quite frankly.
I will take it all back if episode one opens with this dude kissing the back of the knees of all these girls, alright? Like...
Yeah. Shout out to Amagami.
Shout outs to Amagami indeed.
Alright.
Still gotta get that midnight naan, baby.
God, Seiren was alright.
I want to say everyone check out Seiren, but I don't know if I can do that in good
conscience.
I don't
know if you can actually say that. All right, what about this G-Reco next one?
Not since G-Reco I watched the show with such inane dialogue.
So,
what is this
one? What is this one that I put on
Tante
here?
Tante Wamo.
Yeah, oh, you can say that in your Kenshiro voice.
Tante Wamo Shinderu.
Yes. Yeah. The detective is already dead, or as officially on the title card, as it states, Le Detective Esta Muerta.
What is this, Bleach?
Ooh. I was saying, what is this, Megalobox?
Okay, well, you know, that's better, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that this looks good, but I thought the concept was interesting.
What is it?
It's about this guy who was the assistant of this detective lady, and, like, all the... Apparently all the supposedly exciting adventures happened before this anime, and then she died.
Okay, that's all right.
And then she died, and now he's, like, trying to live his normal life, but then stuff starts coming back up or whatever.
Does she, like, possess him or something? Or is she floating around as a cute ghost?
I did not see any evidence of supernatural stuff going on, but I don't know. Maybe she didn't die.
I don't know. This all sounds, like, completely in line with the genre, right? I mean, didn't Sherlock Holmes die for, like, a book, and then he got better? So, like... You know.
No.
What are you talking about? He got died. In a stasis tube until the 22nd century.
Until the 22nd century.
Oh my god.
Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd
every time,
century.
Every time you give us the fucking id, Eero and I are going to take it. To
why
the
don't
22nd
you just start
century.
A podcast about Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century?
Oh, you mean the Glorio chat in the 22nd century? Our Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century watch along podcast?
Sure, why not? We put serious stuff
we
on
just,
the side.
What, we read the original book, like, mystery, and then watch the 22nd century.
Watch the episode it's based on.
Okay, I will accept this pitch, but only if we are allowed to do a parallel podcast about James Bond Jr. as well.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
This is the podcast you get if you give us nothing to work with. We have to invent our own bits.
Yeah, so, again, I like the concept. I don't know about the actual,
It sounds like it could be a really interesting character drama, but the problem about really interesting character dramas is you need good writing. So, you know, it could go really wrong.
And these, like, anime-ass character designs and whatnot.
Yeah.
I
will point out that this is the same studio who did 2020 Anime of the Year, Uzaki-chan, as well. So,
he was animation director technically.
I don't blame the studio.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about the guy. My bad.
The idea of there's a dead person as a major character makes me think of Nanana's Missing Treasure or whatever.
Oh God, how do you even remember that?
Wow, that's a pull.
But she actually wasn't she
a ghost?
A ghost or something?
I think so. I assume the detective in the show is a ghost, or otherwise there's just a lot of fucking flashbacks based on this trailer.
I mean, you can
write a story where somebody is like a major character and also deceased, but again, it's a tricky balancing act, right?
Yeah. It would have to be a lot of flashbacks, yeah.
Yeah, and also just, you know, you have to write their presence in without them actually being physically there, and again,
right,
that's
like,
tricky.
So a lot of flashbacks.
Because, like, the bad version of this is where he solves every case by showing a flashback to his, you know, his detective master specifically saying some convenient, like, turn of phrase that unlocks the case. You know?
Oh, I love Phoenix Wright.
No, that's different. Record. See, that's spirit channeling. Maya Faye is channeling the spirit. Of... Yeah.
Definitely not ghosts.
This is legally admissible as evidence. Yep.
I mean, this is cheating, but I'm looking at the tags on any chart.
Okay,
and
that doesn't tell you anything.
And it does mention superpowers and artificial intelligence. So
wait, what?
Those are all ways you could get around that.
Okay, let's see here. We got the tags: female protagonist, male protagonist, tragedy, superpower, detective, terrorism, artificial intelligence, harem, and guns.
Ah, all right. Anime.
Oh no. Okay, I clicked the show spoilers, and we've got a tag that was all the way at the top. Body swapping. She's dead, but she's possessing him. Oh, I called it early on.
Or no, she's... Or so it is Phoenix Wright. She's possessing
spirit channeling.
It is spirit channeling.
Oh, shit.
Well, no, the poster has this pink-haired girl too, right? So is she possessing the pink-haired girl? Like, is that...
She could be channeling into another waifu of some kind.
I mean, I guess we're going to have to watch to find out, huh?
Is she actually just Maya Fey?
Yeah, I guess we will have to watch and find out.
All right. Well...
I'll let you guys do that, and you can tell me later. All right, what do we got next here?
All right, here's a weird one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This one is called Life Lessons with Urumichi Onisan.
Okay.
This is about a 30-something kids TV host who is, like, okay. super happy on camera, but he's, like, weird and creepy and possibly murders people off camera.
Actually, that sounds fucking great.
Isn't this an adaptation of a manga? Yeah.
Have you seen this in passing, G?
In passing, yes. This is not one of those, oh, G read the manga and this is an adaptation. No, this is just, I've seen pages of this out of context that seem pretty funny, but again, it's like, I don't know if those are just one-off gags or like...
I mean, the concept is right up my alley as far as black comedy type of things going on here.
Again, I will say that I don't know if the whole thing is good, but I'll say the like two or three pages I saw out of context, I did laugh at. So,
okay.
that's something, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, the I mean, and the trailer doesn't give away too much aside from the written description, but it looks pretty amusing. Just the whole concept of
this kid like show host is actually psycho.
Yeah, like the joke of the couple of pages I saw of it is kind of basically the like. Right, it's the contradiction of like children because children are innocent and thus they know who is the strongest. they have not been like ground down
it's
by
Goku.
Life yet, right? Like they ask certain Master questions, dismissed. Right? That like it's just a joke that children ask questions that adults are like actually deep down completely incapable of handling because like they strike at certain things that like we as adults have just learned to internalize, right? You know, it's just classic stuff of like. Like, you know, mister, how come you don't do what makes you happy? And it's like, kid.
So it's Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei. Then.
Like, it's a lot more complicated than that.
I like,
it's
is this
like
just
that.
Another show in the trend of tapping into millennial angst here?
maybe. But again, I don't know how fresh that joke stays. Like, again, as a one-off thing I've read, like, one page of, I was like, that's pretty funny, but I don't know if that can last, like, a whole season.
Right. That's always the,
right, like,
the big question.
Ideally, this would be some like wave listen to me level, like millennial angst, but I feel like it's probably not going to be, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
hey, remember wave
listen
oriented.
To me? Also, yeah, remember wave listen to me?
Remember that show?
She fought that bear.
there were some things that happened in that one, but yeah. No, this seems more like a gag type traditional anime comedy, but I have not had a good anime comedy in like I've several seasons now. I feel like, hashtag free. That's the new hashtag now that Tsurumaki is theoretically done with Evangelion, right?
Theoretically.
Do you really think they're gonna make an Evangelion 5.0? Come on.
No, I think they're just gonna chain Tsurumaki
to
something else.
Yes.
Anyway, I hope that is at least funny.
Sure.
Let's move on. Talk about
what's this one?
The Aquatope of White Sand, Shiroi Tsuna no Aquatope. This is the new PA Works original series.
Okay, before I look up literally anything about this, you tell me it's a new PA Works series. It is.
Okay.
Is it the A young girls at working at a job PA Works, or is it B like teens having a heartful journey of self discovery PA Works, or is it the C kind of janky, maybe
supernatural
fantasy action PA Works?
What if I told you it was all three?
Oh, shit.
Damn. The ultimate PA Works.
I'm dead serious.
Are you actually serious?
I'm actually serious.
You're not doing this as a bit.
That worked out perfectly.
Now I
gotta pull up this PV.
Yeah.
There's this girl who is an 18-year-old girl working at a high school. Not a high... 18-year-old girl working at a aquarium.
Sure.
Okay.
So you got the working aspect.
All right.
The aquarium is on the verge of closing down, of course.
Okay.
Classic.
this she meets this other girl who has failed at being an idol and is looking for a job and asked to work at the aquarium.
Okay.
Sure.
So they can work, they work together, and the aquarium has some sort of mysterious magic secret.
Oh.
Okay.
That she knows about, where like these magic creatures show up in the aquarium or something like that. So you've got a little bit of everything that you'd expect from
and
a
then
PA
the
Works.
Demons. The yeah. demons show
Sirius
up.
Sirius the well, Jaeger.
Unfortunately, I don't think they mixed in any Sirius the Jaeger, but that's probably not your typical.
I was going to say, if it takes place in an aquarium, couldn't we go like full Shadow of Innsmouth here or something?
Oh, man.
Like, these girls have to fight Lovecraftian horrors from the deep.
Remember, like, the unspoken part about Shadow of Innsmouth, which is a bunch of inbreeding as well.
Are you saying that is too gauche for anime?
I'm saying that it's too brave for anime, who prefer generally only to hint at that kind of thing.
All right.
Look, it's all in the tease, right? If you just say you can fuck the fish monsters, then, you know, where's the money gonna come from?
Apparently the writer for the show was the writer for the Digimon Adventure Tri movies.
Oh, so it's bad then.
For Heaven's Lost Property, Tetsushin Jig.
Oh, okay. Wait, like the modern Jig? The one with the
I mean, presumably not the original one.
Yeah.
Parts of the newer Jig.
Oh.
And
that song had a very, on... you know, that show had a very good Ichiro Mizuki OP. So I'll
hell yeah,
that.
It did. Aikatsu, Bank Dream, Chihayafuru,
people like Chihayafuru.
Sure.
So I think the one thing we can safely say about this show is that it will be very pretty.
So I just watched the PV, and it is a good looking show.
Yeah. I mean, PA Works do not produce ugly shows.
You know, as much as I thought a Apariranmon sucked ass, it looked good.
God, right. Apari Ranmon exists. Right. Oh, fuck. Right. Was that like the last notable PA Works anime?
Might have been.
No, they did. Was that before or after they did the one with the girls fishing?
Wasn't that like
somehow
concurrent?
Got like two seasons or what? Something? Was that them?
I thought those basically aired at the
apparently,
same time.
Apparently, the last notable PA Works show between Apari Ranmon and Aquatrope of Right Sand is The Day I Became a God, conceived by Jun Maeda.
That was the Jun Maeda one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Look, I mean, PA Works is a... They are a workman-like studio.
They are apparently among the better studios to work for,
you know,
I will say.
If nothing else, PA Works is a notable enough studio that we can make jokes about their house style.
Yeah, yes. You know, that's true. Like... They got a vibe, and they tend to stick with it.
Right.
And sometimes it works, and sometimes it very much does not.
I mean, they are a studio that has produced a show that this blog has called the Anime of the Year. So
Shiro Bako is a great anime.
Also, PA Works produced the Kazuya Sumeraki directed opening for Wild Arms 3 on the PlayStation 2.
Ah. You see, now I'm interested.
Now we're getting to the real deep cuts here.
The point is that there is a great deal of talent at PA Works, you know, and it, like, whether their shows are good or not tends to depend very strongly upon the material they are given to work with, right? You know.
So is this an anime original then?
This is an original,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Why the fuck not? Yeah. Like,
I mean, I wrote jokes about them doing only those three types of shows. I think that applies to their originals. They actually do quite a few adaptations as well.
Yes,
but
yes.
All their originals seem to fit in one of those categories, and this seems to cover them all. So if you're into PA Works, which I, you know, I've personally been hit or miss with them on some of these.
Fuck
but
them. My place is here.
Oh, man. The anime police have arrived again. Yeah, so
it's us. We are the anime police.
It's me. You're under arrest, motherfucker.
Real twist. You were the cops
it's
the
good
whole
to be,
time.
It's good to be invincible.
Can you speak a little closer to my chest?
Just rapid fire references to shit. That...
Yeah. Look, like I said, this podcast is just
we are going off the rails.
We have one anime left on this list, and we're not even an hour in. Like I could almost go back to Getarobo. Like I might as well. Like I forgot to mention, there's a new Jam Project OP.
Jam Project.
Jam Project is great, but their involvement in something is not an indicator of quality at all. They did the opening for Card Guard Van Fight.
Card Guard Van Fight.
Say that three times fast.
Could you do a Getarobo without a Jam Project OP?
Yes, you can.
Okay, look, but Ichiro Mizuki and Nobuhiro Nobukageyama are both part of Jam Project.
So that's what I mean, is it either Jam Project or is it an Ichiro Mizuki solo?
Okay.
Those are your two options.
It has to be part of the Jam Project cinematic universe.
Yes.
Just like the ending of Carnival of Fantas by Masaki Endo, part of the Jam Project cinematic universe.
I mean, like the Gal Gaiga.
We should just talk about the last anime on this list.
Don't forget the opening of Dororo Nenmakun by Masaki Endo, part of the Jam Project cinematic universe.
Yeah, like,
hey, great example. The Gal Gaiga opening is bad show.
The Gal Gaiga opening is only by Endo, but everybody accepts that is a Jam Project song.
Don't forget the original opening of Pokemon the animated series, or Rika Matsumoto, part of the Jam Project cinematic universe.
You have the Fast and the Furious, right? You have
it's about family,
right? You have the Jam Project family, right? But then you have the extended, like, Hobbs and Shaw extended family, right? So that's like,
so which one of Jam Project killed Han?
All right, I need to shut this.
It was probably Rika Matsumoto, right?
Fuck,
she cheated on her taxes and she killed Han.
Oh shit.
All right.
Let's just
end this podcast.
tell me about Sunny Boy, Jill.
This actually looks pretty good.
This is notable because Shingo Natsume is the director.
It is also notable because it is by Madhouse, one of the oldest still existing anime studios who have produced so many things.
since
1973. They have produced classics, they have produced garbage, they have produced everything under the sun.
It's true.
So yes, this is a original series created and directed by Shingo Natsume.
And written by.
Yes.
Oh, this OP is a banger.
Notable also, Shinichiro Watanabe is in charge of the music.
Yeah, yo, this OP is hot.
I need to pull that up. I need to find
it. Okay. Show me what you got.
So it's an original, so obviously not a whole lot of information out there as to what's actually happening. It mentions that this is a sci-fi survival series with class of students
There's a bit of a battle.
They get stranded in another dimension or something and have to survive. Sure. I love the art style.
This looks good. I like it.
It looks very.
For people who don't know, we should probably clarify who Shingo Natsume is.
Directed Space Dandy and season one of One Punch Man, as well as Akka 13 Districts.
He is known as one of the most talented key animators and animation directors of the past 20 years.
I think he also directed the recent Boogie Pop.
Yep.
Oh, he did do that. Yes. I thought this looked a little like familiar.
He did a lot of key animation on Gurren Lagann as well.
Did he?
And
did
Damn. Yep.
Yeah.
And storyboarded One Punch Man and some of Mob Psycho 100 as well.
Yeah, I've not watched Boogie Pop or and I dropped off Akka partway through, but his directing was always top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a while, he was one of those closers, you know, who you bought into animate a particularly high quality cut. You know, somebody Ko Yoshinari or someone like that.
Like, some might say Space Dandy was one of the best anime of
the past decade.
2014? The last decade? I would definitely say that. So, yeah, like, you know, all right. Look at this PV. Look at the stuff attached to it. Like, as much as we're fucking around here, like, this is probably one of the ones to watch, right? Like, this is one of the ones to pay attention to this season.
I think so, yes.
Like, strong staff. Like, I'm mixed on the premise, but, like, I can be sold on it. Looks pretty cool. Yeah. The song of this PV is a banger, so, like, yeah.
Madhouse can produce some excellent-looking stuff when they put their minds to it, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's like, I have not been, I'm, you know, frankly not a big fan of, like, some of the stuff Shingo Natsume has directed recently, but, like, a lot of that is just down to, like, subject matter more than anything, mm-hmm. so, like...
Do we have any, does he have any track record as a writer that we know of?
Not really.
Don't know. He's, like, purely, I mean, he came from animation, primarily.
Yeah, he is a director who comes from the visual side of the industry, so...
So that's kind of a wild card, then, huh?
Could be, yeah.
I mean, but that's interesting, right? You know, I'm interested to see where he goes with it, you know? And if, you know, I mean, Natsume has kind of worked a lot with Watanabe as kind of like a mentor figure, you know? Yeah. And, you know, Watanabe, whether you like his anime or not, he knows his way around a good character drama. And so, you know, I think perhaps if he is there in sort of a supervisory role, just kind
of... What does music advisor even mean?
I think it mostly means, like, that we will pay you to, like...
To sit here in this room to listen to our composer?
I mean, like, I suspect it is, we'll pay you to, like, be an old man and chuck some advice out.
That is what I'm getting at, is like, oh, are we paying you to, like, give the thumbs up for, like, this song, and then you can leave for the day?
I mean, part of it is also that Watanabe is one of the few people in the anime industry who has genuine name power, right? Like, and I mean, beyond just, like, animation nerds like us or stuff like that.
Right.
You know? He is somebody who you can put his name above the title, and people will pay notice to that.
Right. But yeah, sure. I mean, this sounds like it could be pretty interesting. And you know, as much as we're kind of stomping on this season, like, as Zig kind of alluded to at the beginning, I feel like it is almost a glory of tradition that every season of anime, there's always, like, one that, like, surprises us. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's great or, like, you know, revelatory, but there's always, like, one every given season that ends up being surprisingly, like, you know,
not what we expected.
I mean, even in this season that is stacked with incredibly good shows, a lot of those incredibly good shows have kind of come out of nowhere, right?
Like, Blindside by Odd Taxi.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, like, I don't want to, like, you know, set up my expectations and hope that Sunny Boy ends up being that for us this season, but if there is one this season, you know, I can definitely see it being...
I mean, we can only ever crystal ball gaze, right? But, like, it's certainly set up well, you know. I mean, as I've said, you know, we're big fans of Shingo Natsume. It looks interesting. There's a neat premise, you know, which is not just... I mean, I guess technically they are being isekai'd, but you get the idea, you know. It's
they're being isekai'd, but it's not an isekai.
Yeah. It is a bad isekai.
Whoa.
At least as far as we know.
Alright.
So.
Anybody, anything else? We got
last call.
You suggested Scarlet Nexus.
I mean,
we would just want to bring that up real
quick. The only notable things about Scarlet Nexus, well, there's two major notable things. One, it's a tie-in to fairly major video game, which has gotten, you know, face time among the big manufacturer, specifically Microsoft, seems to be behind it.
Even if, like, on some level, it's only notable because it is one of the first major Japanese games to be
on the new gen.
PS5, or the new console.
Yeah,
Bamco's been pushing it real hard.
Yeah, and the other notable thing is that it is animated by your friends and mine, Sunrise, which, you know, could be anything, but, you know, they are a major studio, and when their name is attached to something, you know, that means something.
The one thing I did find interesting is that the game and the anime are coming out nearly at the same time, within like a week or two.
An unusual display of synergy from Japan, I will say.
Yeah, because usually it's like one way or the other, right? Like,
place your bets, people. Is the Scarlet Nexus anime an adaptation of the game?
Absolutely not.
Or is it a side story? A Gaiden.
They are completely unrelated, I bet.
Are they actually? Or
I have no idea. That's just my guess.
Or is it the Shin Sakura Wars the animation?
Oh God.
And it is an epilogue to the events.
Oh, there's
of the
too.
Game.
It's too. You can't release the epilogue the same time as the game comes out, right?
That game looks not bad. Gotta say.
It's
got a super anime, but in a fun way, type of vibe to it, to a certain
degree. The reality for me and, like, my relationship with Japanese character action games is that if you're not platinum, I need to hold the controller in my hands to see how
it
feels. Like, I cannot trust non-platinum character action games until I've actually played them. Like,
I mean, honestly, you know, I can't really trust platinum action games at this point, you know, because they blow hot and cold.
I mean, I feel like you can. I feel like you can feel in your gut when you are seeing A team platinum versus like C team platinum. You know what I mean? Like you can tell, and you can feel in your soul. Okay, this is Bayonetta versus okay, this is The Legend of Korra, the video game.
Yeah, I mean, usually the core combat is good, but it's everything around it maybe that is
right,
hit or miss.
Right.
I mean, I played that. What was the mobile game? World of Demons or something. On Apple Arcade.
Right.
I would
yes.
not play a platinum game on a mobile platform.
And
but...
well, it has controller support, so I hooked up the controller and like it's literally just Platinum Combat Simulator. There's nothing else happening in the game whatsoever.
I'm going to come in with an important update here. Apparently they put up an immediate demo of Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins onto PlayStation 5. And it's corrupted by chaos. No, really.
It's Garland.
It's broken. Apparently.
By Garland. Garland did it.
You mean
Garland
chaos?
Corrupted the
no, chaos. Don't call him
that's
Garland.
That's Garland.
No.
Guys, look, I'm pointing at him. That's Garland.
All right.
Anyway, I just thought that was very funny.
I'm gonna put this podcast out of its misery.
Hell yeah. We could all go off and play this right, demo
no,
on our PlayStation.
Right, no. You know. I, as somebody who actually did read much of the manga for some a couple, one or two of these isekai things, I will take the bullet. There is, let's see, I'm looking at the thing. There's How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom, which is the dude gets summoned in to Isekai Land and basically says, "Wow, your social policies are fucking out of date. We should fix that shit instead of like." Do war stuff.
Oh, so he ends slavery instead of get slaves?
Yeah, he's like, we need to actually grow crops instead of only money crops and stuff. So that one, I remember reading that and going, this is better than the slave harem shit.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
sure.
There is a like kind of a second breed of isekai shows that exist now that are like the like inoffensive boring ones.
Right. Also is let's see here.
Isekai has reached the point where it is a genre that you can use as a Trojan horse to
right.
like
know,
convey your actual
up,
show
right.
about.
But like
stuff.
Not right, but like not all of them now are like the male power fantasy
yeah.
ones.
But kind of what is one of those is Tsukiga Michibiku Isekai Dochu reading off of this list, which is something like a moonlit fantasy or something like that, which is kind of notable because it's a lot of the staff of Log Horizon
yeah.
working on this. My understanding is this is also one of the like older, more highly regarded isekai in the genre.
Well, that's good. We all saw how much we loved what was that fucking awful show?
Log Horizon Season 3?
No, the like the kid who's
Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah, Jobless Reincarnation.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
It. Yeah.
This one
yeah,
also
that
I don't,
did not go
I don't
well.
Think to us will be particularly interesting. This one, I feel like, I think the gimmick of this one is that, like, a lot of the... it builds itself as, like, social, like, progress isekai, except the dude literally has a, like, pocket dimension with him, with all of his
squad. Oh, well, that's,
squad.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Right, exactly, right? You just got a fucking
that's,
city builder in your fucking pocket!
That's not
real social reform,
even,
dumbass!
That's, yeah, like, that's not even, like... Like, this genre is already not that interesting to me because a lot of it often feels like cultural imperialism, you know?
Oh, yeah,
straight
up, dude.
Like, let me just show up here and show you fucking rubes how to do things the right way, you
uh-huh.
know, the modern way.
Let me
way.
Show you how
Andy.
To build a water pump and,
right,
crop rotation.
Right,
let me teach you how to cure scurvy.
Right, like, there's an implicit, like... There's an implicit, like, tone to that sort of style of fiction. But, like, at least
yeah.
most of those times,
I mean,
still like, hey... Yeah, you gotta put the work in, not just fucking stick your hand in a pocket dimension and...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Pull out socialism.
I mean, the problem with so many of these shows is that they are power fantasies and most often
right.
male power fantasies.
Yeah.
In one yeah. way or another, you know, be that you are openly awful or you are subtly awful, but
uh-huh.
it's there a lot of the time.
But the big boob ladies still love you no matter what.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, thank you, Iroh, for making my job easier so you can write these season previews of those.
Fuck. Oh, damn it. No,
all right.
I said I took the bullet, but this isn't what I meant.
Let's wrap this
you
up.
You took
so
a whole machine gun, son.
Let's wrap this up so I can go break my PS5 with that Final Fantasy Origin demo.
yes, we can all play it on our PS5s, which we definitely have.
I mean, I have one.
Yes, Joe, actually,
you're gonna have to,
I'm the 1%.
You're going to have to do some editorial for you. You got to do some reporting for us.
Speaking of male power fantasy.
Yeah.
Owning a PlayStation 5.
Well, housekeeping, check us out at theglorioblog.com. Where you can find any of our other content. Zig's still writing about Dinozenon.
It's still good.
God,
still very good.
Show.
I would have rather talked about that than all of this stuff today.
Next
but
time. Dude, I have like so many fucking things bubbling underneath my skin about Vivi, Odd Taxi, Nomad. Like, there were so many good episodes.
We're
going to
make up for this with a 3-hour episode next time for the season wrap up.
Yes, we probably are.
Is Dobu throwing that guy's phone in the harbor the moment of the year so far? Because it's up there.
Yes, that was very good. I'm a little behind, actually, because I've been busy on this week's shows, so we'll have to get into that. Check us out at theglorioblog.com. Follow us on Twitter at theglorioblog. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, Stitcher. Also, like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, ring the bell and whatnot. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. We'll catch everybody next time.
Make your enemies watch Isekai Anime.
Chaos!